This is the Hollywood Outsider, weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Thursday, and this is episode 154. This week we are discussing upcoming releases including The November Man and As Above, So Below. We got spoiler-free reviews of Expendables 3, Let's Be Cops, and The Giver. Our From the Outside In topic this week, who is the greatest working director? It's very important. They have to be working still. Latest in movie and TV news, including our own trivia segments. My name is Aaron Peterson. With me today are my fellow hosts, Scotty Clark.
What's happening, hot stuff?
What's happening, hot stuff?
Hey. Yeah, if you're going to say it with the proper accent.
With an offensive accent.
That's exactly what I was trying to avoid. That's exactly what I was trying to avoid.
Brian Williams, please do a Chinese accent.
What's happening, hot stuff?
And Justin McCumber.
Southern Asian.
The Tonga need food.
Is that Sajin? Is that what that is?
Something like that.
Sounds like a spice. What's everybody doing?
You called us here for this bullshit. What do you mean, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Did you guys hear Ant-Man finally started filming this week? Mm-hmm. How long you guys give it? What's the over-under for when everybody quits?
Why do you think
they started? I think they're all kind of committed at this point.
They were committed before, and then directors dropped out.
Well, I mean, they're actually filming now. I think that puts an extra layer of commitment, but shit, who knows?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine from here on.
You think so?
Yeah.
At some point, it's got to be.
Are you guys still
Paul Rudd's looking tough in his little hoodie.
He looks cranky. That's what he looks like.
Your Ant-Man, wouldn't you be cranky?
Why do I got to be so small?
Yeah, why can't I be Iron Man? Yeah, why can't I be Thor? I got to be the little dude.
Are you guys confident in this movie? Are you good with it?
Yeah. Marvel has yet to fail me. I watched Captain America Winter Soldier last night, and again, I was like, God damn, this is good. Marvel is hitting on all cylinders. I have complete and total faith in what they're putting out at this point.
Welcome to the Comic Book Movie Podcast.
That's right.
Where we just talk about Marvel movies. No, we're going to move on. We did just do an Expendables spoiler cast. That's just Brian and I.
And it kicks ass.
It did. Saying. More pauses than you could ever dream of.
Judging from the money it made, you two may be the only ones listening to it.
Ooh, that was rude, man.
Low blow.
That hurt.
Yellow card, Justin.
Brian, we talked about it in the podcast, but you know they're going to make the Expendables, that horribly sexist title, and it's going to
call the Expendabellas and cross over into Pitch Perfect.
That would be awesome.
Where they're singing.
They're singing as with machine gun fire.
That's right.
Oh, I thought you were going like into a Twilight crossover thing.
It's good. No. She's holding the machine gun. It's got built-in vibrato.
You guys are just making this movie worse.
They're like, okay, excuse me?
Well, we talked about Sigourney Weaver. That's who Sly wants for the movie, and she already turned it down. She said no.
That's a bummer. That's a real big bummer.
I think it's probably smart for her.
Well, yeah.
Honestly, I don't think she wants to be part of that joke.
Folks, just go watch Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch?
It's like ass-kicking chicks all through it.
But it's dumb.
Beautiful.
I mean,
shut your face.
It's dumb.
Hey, it is very beautiful, but it's
pretty.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well, I have it on Blu-ray.
Thank you, me too.
I feel kind of guilty about it, though.
You should.
No, don't feel guilty.
You should be ashamed.
That's good.
You're a dirty, dirty boy.
Just like Dimension Films should be ashamed because they're going to make another Halloween movie called The Next Chapter, but Michael Myers is still in it.
People still going to get chopped up?
I'm sure.
So it's the same shit then?
Yeah.
I didn't see the last one.
So this is completely unnecessary.
Which last one are you talking about? There's like 14 last ones.
The second Rob Zombie one. I didn't see that one.
Oh, you just... Basically, you avoided an execution.
Is that really bad?
What happened. Yeah, it's awful.
Well, it sounds like this one, they're completely taking a different route like they did with the old Halloween movies, right? Like it's like when they went to Halloween 4, wasn't it?
Where they went, to the went for the younger niece and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like
I'm sorry, spoiler alert, if you didn't know.
But it sounds like that's the route they're taking with this one.
I don't know. I'm glad that they're continuing. I've always been a fan of that series.
What can you do with this?
Not much. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You can only do so many things with this basic plot, and golly, beat that dead horse.
Well, look how many Saw movies there are. I mean, it sells. I mean,
Friday the 13th.
Hey, that one's okay. We can have as many
all of them.
Yep, all of them except the one where it wasn't Jason. Yep, or the two that weren't Jason.
Even in space.
All right, three. Yeah. I forget about that one.
Well, we're whittling that number down.
Well, thankfully, he's got 12 of them, so I can pick this. I can pick this still apart. Got plenty of them. I got plenty to pick for. At what point will Halloween just switch it up and he'll have like a Leonard Nimoy mask?
When will Michael Myers join the cast of Pitch Perfect?
I would see that. Oh, let's go to the real movie news, stuff we really want to talk about. And this is actually, I'm aiming this at Justin, even if it doesn't say so. Johnny Depp and Kevin Smith are working together with their daughters on a, I can't make this up, on a movie called Yoga Hosers. What do you think?
Well, I first heard about this when I listened to Kevin Smith's, the audio from his Hall H panel. While he was talking about Tusk, his most recent picture, he talked a bit about the next film that was coming up, which is the strangely named Yoga Hosers. He had couched, when he talked about it in the panel, he made it sound a bit more horror-ish mm-hmm. than the articles that I've read about it. The articles have been painting it more as like a almost like a comic book movie, because these two girls are going to be, sorry, the two girls are being played by, as you said, Johnny Depp's daughter and Kevin Smith's daughter, Lily Rose Depp, of course, you know, and Harley Quinn Smith are going to be the leads in it. They're both 15-year-old girls who work in like this convenience store. Apparently there's this supernatural uprising that threatens an invitation to some dance, and they join up with a guy played by Johnny Depp to fight these monsters off. Whether it's more comic booky, because Kevin Smith has said that it is kind of his intro into comic book movies, but
he made the impression it was more horror. Honestly,
I got the impression it was more horror.
Yeah, that's what I got.
This is also the second film in what he's calling his what was it? The True North trilogy,
Canadian trilogy. Film.
Yeah, they're all about Canadian culture and mythology. First one being Tusk, the next one being Yoga Hosers. And then there is a third one coming out, but I don't have the title to that one in front of me. But
I hope it's a remake of Strange Brew.
It's not.
Steamroller.
I am a bit of a Smith fan. I always have been. I loved Red State. And I like that he's going in this direction of trying some things that are really different and unique and distinctly him, which from looking at Tusk in the trailer and hearing him talk about it, it sounds like a movie that only he could do. And so does this one. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some more about this one.
Here's what I find funny about this. Outside of the plot of the whole thing, if you had told me 15 years ago that we were going to see a Kevin Smith movie starring Johnny Depp, I wouldn't have believed you.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
I'm like, what wacky character is he going to dress up as, and how is he going to talk about penises?
Well, that could still happen. Secondly, I didn't even know Kevin Smith had a daughter, and apparently I looked it up.
Seriously? He talks about it. Well, you don't listen to his
show. You don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, I don't listen to the podcast anymore. Apparently she's been in like two or three of his movies, and I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I know Clerks 2, she was one of the
little girl in Jersey Girl.
Oh, that was his daughter?
No, his daughter. That was not his daughter.
No, but she was in a scene.
Yeah, she was in a scene.
Not the.
Yeah, sorry if I misrepresented.
She sure
just
did.
In a small scene.
You're like, she was the Jersey Girl.
No, I'm sorry. No,
she's not tainted for life.
Gotcha. And I think I kind of want to see Tusk before I really want to get a
see where feel. He's at right now.
Yeah, exactly. I want to see that one first before I decide if I want to see this one or not.
Now, I want to ask a legitimate question. All right, Justin, a legitimate question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you think your nostalgia for Kevin Smith taints your opinion of where he's going with his? Because I'll be honest, outside of Red State, he's had a couple clunkers in a row. You know, Red State was nice, but he also had Cop Out, and Jersey Girl wasn't that great, and he had a couple misfires there too.
Yeah, there are a few directors that don't. I wouldn't say that it's nostalgia for him that makes me want to see this, because I have kept up with his career since then, and I listen to, you know, his podcasts, so I'm fairly current with what he's doing, and I'm still a fan of his work. Some of it based on previous films, some of it based on things that he said about the films coming up. I like it when an artist decides that instead of just putting out studio movie after studio movie, that they want to take their career, maybe shrink it down a little bit, and do something that's intensely personal to them. That's a bold move in today's Hollywood. Most directors seem to be content to just put out whatever the big studios will hire them to put out. I like seeing auteurs, even if it's, you know, hit or miss.
Brian, what about you? What do you think about this?
I like Kevin Smith, and I'm really intrigued with the combination between Depp and Kevin Smith's direction and
yeah,
stuff.
Me too.
So this is odd, and it's just one of the, again, you, like you said earlier, it's just one of those pairings you wouldn't put those two together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm intrigued by it, and it's odd enough in a good way that I'll be glad I'll be checking it out. But yeah, like you, I want to see Tusk first, just to
see where he's at.
Right, right.
Well, Dean Devlin, who has worked with Roland Emmerich quite a bit in the past, but he's getting into the man-made climate change equals disaster movie business with Gerard Butler in a movie called Geostorm. Scott, you love disaster flicks.
Yeah,
you want
the
world
flicks
to end, apparently. Yeah. What do you think?
This one has kind of a different spin that I think is interesting. Apparently, it takes place in the future where the world has climate control satellites that are basically controlling the weather.
I believe it.
And everything goes wrong, and Gerard
what?
Butler...
What?
Yeah, imagine that. Gerard Butler plays a satellite designer who has to travel into orbit to repair them. He, along with his brother, who is played by Jim Sturgess, who was in Across the Universe and 21.
That's his brother?
He plays his brother. I thought that was a little...
He's a little older, I think.
Yeah, well... It's possible.
Hey, yeah.
Maybe, yeah, I can see Uncle.
He's a Catholic.
And then Abby Cornish plays Jim Sturgess's girlfriend, who's also in the Secret Service. And then apparently
this is all over the place.
Just wait. Then while they're in space, they learn that there's a plot to assassinate the president.
Oh
my God.
The president is played by Andy Garcia.
I'm all over this.
And Ed Harris is the Secretary of State.
I'm all over this.
I am too.
Wow. Seriously, when is the ticket bought?
So what does this have to do with a disaster?
Well, the movie
is the disaster. That's what it sounds like.
Apparently, the climate-controlled satellites go haywire and then cause, like, day after tomorrow.
The giant lizards to come out of the ocean?
Yes. No, like, imagine day after tomorrow, like, huge storm, like the storm of the century kind of thing where it
and then he's
going
to have to get back to Earth, save the president, end the climate change problem.
Right.
Brother's probably going to have to die because he's older, so therefore he's immediately sympathetic.
Yep.
And Gerard Butler at some point will have to take his spacesuit off, showing the fact that he doesn't need a shirt or a spacesuit.
Or air.
Because he's Gerard Butler.
Because he's from Sparta and they don't need that shit.
They don't need it.
I still think it seems interesting
space.
And fun.
Oh.
This is space. Is this really something you really want to see?
It is, but... Mostly because I have a hard time believing that this cast would sign up for something dumb. You know what I mean? That's a lot of...
Gerard Butler, I can see that. Ed Harris is a little bit more particular.
Mm-hmm.
2012. That's all I'm saying. There's some decent people in that movie, and that's...
Oh, that's true. Oh, man, that was a...
Woody Harrelson, John Cusack.
There's some good people in that one. Because sometimes they sign on, big paycheck, disaster movie. It's probably going to make a lot of money because people love to see the world collapse.
Collapse.
You say tomato, I say something else that doesn't even sound like tomatoes.
It just sounds like somebody had two scripts that weren't working.
Yeah.
And said, what if I shuffle them together like a deck of cards? Holy shit.
Yeah. Somebody
this
said,
is gold.
This is what happens. You know, they had Deep Impact and Armageddon, and they said, let's cram them together. Let's just cram them together.
But
we'll
you know,
figure something out.
Yeah, but it's more like Deep Impact and White House Down.
Yeah, that's a really good.
Olympus has fallen, given Gerard Butler
and a little bit of gravity. Oh, this is the pitch.
Whatever,
meeting.
It's the same movie, right?
This is what the pitch
pretty much. But you know, I'm part of the problem because I'm a sucker for disaster movies, and I'm going to be there seeing it regardless. So
you're part of the solution. That's really what it boils down to.
Sure, let's go with that.
He's a problem.
Brian The Rock, you wanted to bring this up a while ago, and I said no, bad
yes.
dog, and smacked you with
him. Smacked my hand.
Mm-hmm, I sure did. But The Rock officially confirmed he will be in Shazam, but not if he will be Shazam or Black Adam the villain. What are you hoping for?
He's made it well known over, I guess, the last few months and stuff. He likes being an anti-hero, and that's kind of what they've taken the Black Adam character, apparently, in the comics, kind of made him an anti-hero. I think that's probably where he wants to go with it. Of course, it's like he's he just jumped out and said, "Hey, guess what I'm doing?" And he's been trying to get DC to announce it. Like, come on, come on,
come on, baby, come on, dude.
Come on. And they just won't step out and say, "Yeah, yeah, you know." But he could. He's the main source of information at this point, and he's not spilling those beans yet. But hopefully, DC will come out and kind of give us a little bit more of a clue on what's going on.
Now, Brian, Shazam is like DC's a minor Superman, or I don't really know Shazam.
He's basically on par with Superman,
mm-hmm.
and he's just not as well known. There was I have basic fond memories of a Saturday morning show back in the 70s or early 80s. But I never really got too attached to him in the comic books though.
And who's Black Adam? That sounds like a really racist name.
It's kind of like the same embodiment of Shazam, but from ancient Egypt or something like that.
It is something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
He's just not a character that's overly familiar with people, but you know, neither was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. It's a really good point.
That's going to be your reference point for everything that we don't know now. No, neither was Guardians of the Galaxy. It could be great. You're not going to let us make fun of anything anymore.
I can't hear the word Shazam without hearing Gomer Pyle.
Shazam!
Shazam, Shazam, Shazam. A decoy. Shazam.
I'm as tired of this as I am. Hercules.
Good. I hope it annoys you. Then you can tell us all about Guardians of the Galaxy one more time.
Because it did not annoy. It was awesome.
It is Keanu Reeves TV week because he's going to be starring in his own series.
Did you say Keanu?
I like seeing Keanu. I like to spell it phonetically.
You're putting the emphasis in the wrong syllable.
I sure do. His own TV series, Rain. And he's also, this isn't really him, but his movie, The Devil's Advocate, is also being developed as a TV series. It's Keanu week.
Well, we'll talk about Devil's Advocate first. Now, this is being developed by Warner Brothers Television, and they're developing a primetime version for NBC of The Devil's Advocate, which most people remember from the movie with Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino, but it's actually based on a novel by Andrew Niederman. In the movie, Reeves starred as this, you know, aspiring young attorney who gets hired into a law firm that his boss happens to be, the devil. And, of course, near the end of it, a lot of Al Pacino hilariousness ensues.
Is that what we're calling it? Al Pacino hilariousness or acting, quote unquote.
It was terrible shit. The downside is that lately these kinds of satanic TV sorts of projects have not been doing well. I mean, 666 Park Avenue lasted less than one season. And I had completely forgotten that NBC had done a reboot or a TV like reimagining of Rosemary's Baby that just flopped and they canceled it.
Yeah.
I meant to watch it and then I just totally forgot about it.
Doesn't NBC have Constantine?
They sure do. Yeah.
Well, they do have Constantine.
Is this like the National Beelzebub channel or what?
Or let's make Keanu Reeves a TV show. I mean, that's two of his movies now that are.
What I do find interesting, though, is that, you know, Devil's Advocate at its core is a law show, and lawyer shows do well on television. Now you add in the devil, you know, what is that going to do to your middle American couple that sits down to watch the endless drivel of cop shows and lawyer shows? It all depends, I think, really on who they cast for their two leads. I would love to see like somebody like David Spade, not David Spade, David Spader. Be the devil, but he's already done a law show. So.
I don't know who the
fuck.
He's
already on James Spader.
James Spader.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is David James's weird cousin that we haven't seen before?
It's this weird family thing. I didn't want to get into it. But yeah, James Spader would be great, but
he's busy.
Get a good devil, get a good aspiring lawyer, and I think you could really make this work. Now, on to the other news.
That's right. Don't even take a breath. Don't let anybody else talk about that topic. You just go ahead and keep moving.
I'm sorry. I thought y'all had gotten that all out when you were ridiculing me. No, please let me stop for a moment and let you continue.
we'll never stop ridiculing you.
I don't know if that's something that – I guess I could see how it would be it could make a good series.
I think it could be a good gateway to getting some other programming onto that station besides cop dramas and law dramas and that kind of thing. Because it is
NBC needs help, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. it could be, oh, hey, come watch it because it's a law drama, but it's got this supernatural thing twist going on it, and maybe that would open the door and get them seeing more things.
All I envision is a procedural where every week the devil loses. He's trying to convince somebody to do something they don't want to do or they shouldn't do, and then they start to do it, and then they back out or find some loophole to beat him in the end, and he goes, ah, drat, whatever. And then next week it starts all over.
I pray he does not say drat. But I could see a little bit deeper than that.
He's the devil. He's censored.
Darn it.
You know, let's not forget, though, NBC does do Grimm, which is a fairly dark show. Mm-hmm. And they also do Hannibal.
Hannibal, which is
really good. An incredibly dark, incredibly artistic show that I've started watching the first season of. And I'm amazed that this is a prime time.
Isn't it shocking that thing is
network
on TV?
Show.
That thing is bloody.
Something that should be on the cable networks. It's so grim and dark and brutal. If they were to go that kind of route with this show, don't give me the devil winking at the camera. I don't want any cutesy music. If you really deal with it as a dark story about the devil and his ability to manipulate, I think you'd have a really good show. But if you're going to cutesy it up, fuck you. I have no interest in that.
All right. Now you can go on to Rain.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Rain is a character from a series of books that are written by an author by the name of Barry Eisler. And he's written, I think there's like at least six of them out by now. And they're all about this character, John Rain, who is a half Japanese, half American contract assassin who specializes in taking out targets so that it looks like it's a natural cause death and not a murder. Meanwhile, he's just kind of this outsider who's always, the man on the outside. He doesn't form attachments. But through the show, I'm sure he'll find some. But this almost seems like a role tailor-made for Keanu Reeves, who mm-hmm. is half Japanese, half American. Mm-hmm. He says that he's a longtime fan of these books, and so he's really thrilled to bring them to television. But there is no network attached yet. Hell, they don't even have a writer yet. But what they're doing right now is casting, or not casting. They've done some casting. They're just trying to pull it all together and get something out there. If he can do a television show right, this character looks made perfectly for him. I'm excited for now. We'll see what future news comes up. But what do you guys think?
I think the idea sounds really good. I'd like to see Keanu more on screen, like on a weekly basis, instead of every year or 2 years.
You're saying you want to see him more?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. From what you guys have said, he's one of the people are saying. I think he gets a lot of flack too for that because of Bill and Ted, and then because
he did it in like eight
because
movies.
Because was Bill and or Ted in every other movie. He's
right.
Yeah, he gets a lot of flack for being that bad in certain things, but he's not bad. I take.
I'm an FBI agent.
He is his own. He was the Nick Cage before it was cool to be Nick Cage. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I don't think he's Nick Cage crazy.
No, not crazy, just acting-wise.
Oh, okay.
Some different. I do like him, though.
I think the character sounds interesting, though. He's also got three rules whenever he gets a contract or whatever. Number one, no women and children. The second one is he works alone. He won't have anybody help him out. And the third one is that he will only kill the person involved. Like, he won't kill, say, your daughter or son or family member or something like that. He won't whack somebody, related to get back to you.
Well, it's good. He's a hitman with a heart of gold.
Yeah. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll look for Rain whenever it finds a network. It will find someone. I have no doubt. It's Keanu Reeves. He's gonna get landed somewhere.
Lifetime's gonna pick it up.
Right next to that Betty White show.
They're gonna go ahead and get it cranked out and probably put it right behind the Saved by the Bell.
Oh, God, have you guys seen the trailer for that? The behind-the-scenes Saved by the Bell movie? Mm. Oh, God, it looks so bad. Just bad. Not good.
Like,
why would I want to see that?
Some people like Saved by the Bell because some people love Screech. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And Kelly. Hello, Kelly. Hello.
I think Tiffany Amber Thiessen was the best thing to ever come out of that show.
She sure was. China is now experimenting, and I wanted to bring this up. We talked about it in our Facebook, our whole group, but I wanted to bring this up because they're testing some texting during movies that is very close to like Mystery Science Theater, where you can text during the movie and the text will actually pop up on screen during the movie.
No.
Yep.
No.
That's one of the things they're testing.
I will boycott that fucker ever tries to come here. No.
Well, if it's a special showing.
If it's something like Sharknado or something.
No. I mean, it's fine. If they've got one theater set up for the retards, then right. Fine. Let them go and let them. If it gets them out of my theater where I'm watching a normal movie, then let them all go over there.
Right. It's like bait.
Exactly.
Retard
bait.
Welcome. Porn. It's Brian at thehollywoodoutsider.com and Justin at thehollywoodoutsider.com.
Yes, you can send your thank yous to those email addresses.
It's bait to clear them out of your theater. That's what you're saying?
Yeah. It draws them out of mine, so I don't have to sit there and look at the bright lights of somebody's phone that they got to all of a sudden check Facebook 45 minutes in the fucking movie.
That's not even the big thing. It's whatever they're texting is going to show up on the theater screen.
Yeah, but he's saying whatever gets them out.
I don't care. All make each other laugh.
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care what they do in there, as long as it's in there.
Yeah, I guess if it's clearly posted and it doesn't, and they say, "Hey, texting won't be allowed in this theater," that's up to you. But if they ever allow it in just regular old movies, that will never be a movie I go to ever. Just no interest whatsoever. I think it's ridiculous.
It reminds
me,
you
can't go 2 fucking hours without using your phone.
Remember pop-up video? From VH1 when they used to play music videos and then they have little pop-up things come up during the music video.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a horrible idea. That was fun for like a minute.
Yeah.
you're learning behind the scenes stuff and information about that. It's kind of telling you something about a video that you saw 10 years before that.
This is more like that true TV shows with the funniest whatevers where the comedians, quote unquote, comedians pop up every minute to tell you a joke in between their funny videos. It's fucking awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate that format.
And the reason they're doing this is because they, for some reason, as much as they lock everything down, they have a hard time controlling the patrons in China.
They beat them and frisk them on the way
in. That's what I thought. Like, you get permits to have children. How can you not control the texting during a theater? Just go in with the militia. Isn't that what they do?
We should do that here.
Have people stationed, soldiers stationed all around the theater.
No, people apply. You got to apply to have children.
Oh, that part? Yeah, I could agree with that.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Also, good news for TV fans. Outlander, Halt, and Catch Fire, and The Strain have all been renewed for second seasons.
Yay. Outlander just started, didn't it?
Which one?
Outlander?
Yeah, it just started. It's only like 3 episodes in.
There's a bunch of books for that, too, so they got lots of material.
They sure do.
I like Halt and Catch Fire and The Strain both, so I'm happy for that.
I'm happy for all 3.
The Strain's getting really good.
Yeah, it had a couple episodes where it was really slouching, and then it picked back up.
Have any of y'all watched Halt and Catch Fire?
Not really interested in that one, honestly. Oh.
Yeah, I couldn't. I was so turned off by Lee Pace's performance in Guardians of the Galaxy. So.
Oh, Jesus.
I am high-fiving you from across the table.
Oh. He's awesome.
Welcome to Brian's Trailer Park. All right. Well, first up, we've got Men, Women, and Children. It's a comedy drama that addresses the sexual frustrations of teenagers and adults, which pretty much looks like a whole lot of sexting, but it really was one of the more interesting trailers we've seen in a while. What'd you think about it, Scott?
I thought the trailer was really eerie. There was no audible dialogue in the entire trailer. Mm-hmm. It had this really creepy music going on. All of the conversations were going on either text messages over the phone or in IM messages or sex boards or whatever was going on. I think the movie looks really interesting. Could have some potential to be kind of put a magnifying glass on us as a society. And I hope it doesn't do it from a preachy standpoint in that, like, put your phone down, that kind of thing. But more or less, like, the aspect of conversations that we probably wouldn't have if the technology wasn't there, because you have that ease of doing it and you can have a conversation privately that we just didn't have before. Outside of a telephone or something like that, but you could hear. Now you can actually text message somebody without anybody but that other person and the NSA knowing what you
Obama knows.
Yeah, exactly. So for that aspect, I think it looks interesting. What about you?
It looks deeply fascinating. Mm-hmm. I love movies like this where they like you said, take a magnifying glass to it. And what it seems to be, and you can see the trailer on the website, what it seems to be doing is shining a spotlight on how people really are. I mean, we've become this – we're open. Everybody's open and, you know, they're constantly – any word you say is in the press. But people have these secret lives mm-hmm. that they – no one that they even know sees. And I think that's what the movie's trying to get at is even people you think you don't know.
Right.
And what they're doing, you know, beneath or behind closed doors, so to speak, on their phones and on Facebook, social media of all kinds. I think it's really fascinating. And it's a great cast. Adam Sandler is in it. And I know that might be a turnoff to some people, but if you saw Punch Drunk Love. Sorry.
That was an awesome movie, but he wasn't in it.
Because of Punch Drunk Love, you know that he can act, and I really just shot up my list on most look forward mm-hmm. to movies of the winter.
Well, it's a pretty big ensemble, mm-hmm. right?
Huge, yeah.
I just see a whole lot of people getting in trouble after this movie.
Oh yeah. They're like, let me see your phone. Let me see your phone. That's what you're gonna hear.
Yep.
Why won't you give me your phone?
Going from one movie about fidelity, marriage, we go to one that is a good marriage. Based on a novella by Stephen King, it stars Anthony LaPaglia and Joan Allen, which today is her birthday, by the way. So happy birthday, Miss Allen.
Love Joan Allen.
And side note, it's also Jonathan Kee Kwan's birthday, which, who is that?
Short Round.
Bam! Mm. 2 points for the big brain.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Hey, if you're going to do it with the offensive accent.
No time for love, Dr. Jones.
That's right. All right. How many times have we got to tell you?
We've lost every Asian listener this week.
Maybe the Chinese will give us some feedback with our texting stuff. Well, anyway, the story revolves around after 25 years of a great marriage, Darcy finds out that her husband is the notorious serial killer that's been in the news lately. What will she ever do? Justin, you're our Stephen King expert. What'd you think about the trailer on this?
It's not bad. I am much more a fan of King's supernatural work rather than his psychological stuff. And this is a story that came in the book, Full Dark, No Stars, which was a collection of these short stories / novellas. And it was a good story, you know, in the book. But I'm just not that big a fan of the psychological stuff. And this movie, while it looks fine and he wrote the screenplay for it as well, I'm sure it will be a nice rental to watch, but it's just not the kind of movie that's going to draw me into a theater. Joan Allen is fine as well. You know, it looks good, but you know, I'm just, like I said before, I'm not a psychological horror guy.
Well, speaking of theaters, it does open in theaters October 3rd, but it's also on video on demand at the same time.
Cool. So score.
If you are curious enough about it, you can check it out there. I'm a little bit leery. I feel like I've seen the whole movie though in the trailer.
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah.
And I mean, I would, if I watched it, I would basically be watching it praying that there's some big twist or something that they have gave no indication of in the trailer. Like, because that can be entertaining where you think you've got it all figured out. Then all of a sudden, you know, you just think you're on a routine space repair mission. And all of a sudden, bam.
Here comes that asteroid.
Here comes that asteroid. And the president's been kidnapped by
aliens.
Monkeys. Monkeys. Apes.
Monkeys.
Caesar.
All right. Well, you can watch these trailers and those from recent episodes at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Have you got any thoughts or topic ideas? Let us know. You can reach us on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Go on to facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. We've got a fun group on there. Join that. And you can always email us at feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com.
All right, folks, we have got 3 movies that we're going to be talking about this week, each of them opening up on a different day. We'll start off with the November Man, which unfortunately comes out in August. So they should have called him the August Man, in my opinion.
That does seem like a real missed opportunity.
It's like Labor Day all over again.
Did we not learn from Labor Day?
We did not. Why is it Labor Day? They should have re-released Labor Day. Why wouldn't you? Seems perfect.
Release this in November. Mm-hmm. An ex-CIA operative is brought back in on a very personal mission and finds himself pitted against his former pupil in a deadly game involving high-level CIA officials and the Russian president-elect. This is directed by Roger Donaldson, and it stars Pierce Brosnan and Olga Kurylenko. Mm. I feel like we've already seen this movie. Did we not already see this movie with Jason Statham and what's his name? Where Jason Statham trained his successor.
The mechanic?
Yeah, the mechanic. Ain't this basically the same shit?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, Justin.
Sounds like the same shit. Aaron, tell me what you think, man.
It's Pierce Brosnan. It's an action movie. He hasn't done one in a while, and he looks like Billy Badass, so I will probably want to check it out. It's Pierce Brosnan, man. But I will tell you, they don't open awesome movies on Labor Day weekend. They just don't.
Maybe that's why Labor Day didn't open Labor Day weekend.
It is so hard for me to watch this there and not think of James Bond.
Because he's James Bond.
Right. But he even does like the tie thing, like straightens the tie or Bond does the cufflinks or he just looks like James, like an old grizzled James Bond. Looks like a lot of action, not a lot of story. But
I saw an interview with him today and he was talking about how he turned down Batman. I don't know if he turned it down, but he was being considered for the original Batman, the Tim Burton Batman.
Holy wow. Shit.
Yeah. Mine.
I can't even. I don't know.
I don't even know what to think about that.
He would have made a great Bruce Wayne 20 years ago. Think about it.
Bruce Wayne, yeah. I don't know about Batman.
Can he pull off an American accent? I don't know if I've ever seen him try.
I don't know. Does he have to?
Because Bruce Wayne, he's American, motherfucker.
Is he?
He ain't no Brit.
I don't know.
Even though he was played by Brit for a while, that Brit still had an American accent. That's all I'm saying.
Brian, do you want to see The November Man in August?
To me, it just seems like it's the parallel movie to the Kingsman, The Secret Service with Colin Firth.
Yep, that's a good point.
No, wait for that one then. That looks better.
Because that one to me looks a little bit more interesting.
I agree.
I don't know, though. There's something about Pierce Brosnan that's just really compelling.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I like him. And I've actually heard positive things about his performance in this movie. They're kind of calling him, a badass again. So
him and Liam Neeson need to do like Taken Twins or something.
Taken Twins.
I don't know. They're just two older guys who could still kick some ass.
I actually would.
December Men.
I'm really looking forward to seeing him play someone that's a badass as opposed to the James Bond, because his James Bond was a lot more suave and cheesy, I guess. Where, I know, we're on the same brain, man. But I want to see him be a badass. I think if he was playing James Bond as it's written for Daniel Craig, I think he would have been just as good as Daniel Craig, and nobody gives him that credit.
Wow.
I think that he is, unfortunately, his legacy with James Bond is a bit dirtier than it should be. Just because the last couple of films sucked.
Well, I agree, and I think that was the problem.
He looked as good walking out of the ocean in those skimpy blue shorts as Daniel Craig.
All right, now you got me. All
right, but we're not talking about James Bond here. We're talking about The November Man. Sounds like none of us are really all that deeply interested in it.
I said I wanted to see it. Shut up.
It opens August 27th.
I want to see it.
Now, August 29th, we get a new movie with one of the shittiest titles I've ever seen, As Above, So Below. This is a found footage horror movie about a team of explorers venturing into the catacombs that lie beneath the streets of Paris and uncovering the dark secret that lies within this city of the dead. I think the only actor I recognize in this was Ben Feldman, and I recognized him from Mad Men. He was the Jewish art guy who eventually went kind of a little crazy in the last season. But other than that, I didn't recognize anybody in it. This is found footage. It is another horror movie. Are we done with found footage horror, guys? Brian, are you willing to head out to Gay Paris for a little under the street darkness?
Not really. No, this, if I watch this, it'll be on TV. It just looks cliche. It just looks like it's something that's been done a million times over. I'm sure there's some scary points or scary, you know, moments in it, but I've got really no interest in this movie.
Like why they're still holding the camera when the devil pops out.
Something like that jumps out.
Everybody just needs to wear GoPros on their chest or their head. That way you never have to explain, why are you still holding onto it? Well, it's strapped to me.
I thought that's what was going on in this trailer.
Well, some of them do, but some of them, it looks really handheld and it's flopping around and shit.
Yeah. It looks like The Descent with some supernatural.
That's exactly what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. Like The Descent with more supernatural and more psychological stuff.
I'd rather just rewatch The Descent because that's a great movie.
I want to see it. I'm not tired of found footage movies, even when that doesn't make any sense. I love that kind of scare. I kind of wish it were coming out in October, though, instead of now. But I'd like to check it out.
Why do you want to see it? What about this one appeals to you?
Like Justin was talking earlier that like when it comes to Stephen King, he prefers the supernatural horror as opposed to like the psychological horror. This to me looks like a good mix of that. It's got a bit of supernatural and psychological, because the supernatural are bringing back things that these people that are horrific to them because of their experience. And I'd like to see where that goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I am kind of excited for this one. I don't know if I'm excited enough to fork over the money for a theatrical viewing, but I do love the supernatural element that seems to lead right into the psychological element. I mean, these kids seem to find their way into hell somehow, and they're being tormented with all these things from their past. There's just something about it that does seem very compelling to me. And I think, like Scotty, I am not yet tired of the found footage types of horror films. I think they're right now about 50-50 as far as good and bad go, maybe edging a little more into the bad territory. This one looks good. We'll just have to see how it plays out over a longer, you know, movie timeline.
Justin, you and I need to live closer so we can see movies together.
Aww. I think so. And then you'll never have to see him alone again. Never again. The last one, this one is coming out August 28th. So boom, right in the middle of the first two. Ghostbusters with its remastered, restored, theatrical re-release. Who amongst us is excited? I throw this onto everybody. Who wants to go first?
Fuck yeah. Who doesn't want to see it on the big screen?
I'm torn. I just watched it on...
Why do you hate your childhood?
No, I love Ghostbusters. I just watched it on...
How old were you when this came out? I am honestly curious.
What year did it come out?
84.
It came out 30 years ago, so...
84.
I just got his mom pregnant.
I was four.
Oh. I was just leaving Rock.
I was just leaving his house when this happened.
So you were four, you said?
Yes, I was four. But I didn't see it till I was older. But...
All right.
Maybe so it's really not his childhood he's hating. It's more...
Fair enough. Mine. I loved it. I want to see it. I realize the special effects don't necessarily hold up anymore.
They're not that bad, though.
They're not that great anymore. But, you know, the Stay Puft Man holds up, but the...
Slimer?
Slimer is not so great, and the explosions are awful. Awful. But that's just a product of time, so I can look past. It's still one of the best comedies I've ever seen.
Oh, it's so good.
Love it.
I'm curious how much the restoration and then the remastering will affect the look of it. You know, whether it will make it look so clean and pretty that it's nice, or whether it's so clean and pretty you can see every single problem that the special effects or the sets may have.
Yeah, because, you know, when I remember watching it, it's kind of grainy.
Mm-hmm, it is.
It's got kind of a grainy look about it.
The dogs. That's the part that really looked bad.
Oh, yeah. That did
the
look bad.
The dogs looked bad.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they turned from stone to... Yeah, that did look
they
bad.
They were still cool, though.
They were still cool, but I'm just saying, they don't hold up on a big screen. I saw it at a drive-in a couple of years ago. So.
But a drive-in is far from an optimal condition to be watching, especially a movie of this age.
I don't know. The last one we saw looked pretty good.
Yeah. It was still a giant screen.
What was the movie?
I don't remember, but I'm just saying Ghostbusters on the giant screen, it's still about what it looks like. So,
I guess what I mean is, who knows how old the film itself is? Who knows what was done with it. I'm just saying a newer movie is going to look better no matter what than a 30-year-old movie on any screen.
Oh, sure.
Well, we'll find out soon because I will go see it in the theater.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing this. The little trailer they've got for the 30th anniversary, it just grabs my childhood and shakes it and makes it want to dance. And so I'll definitely go and see this.
That sounded dirty. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you're dirty.
You're dirtier.
I didn't know you were Catholic.
So there you go. Of these three films, my friends, The November Man, As Above, I'm just ignoring you. As Above, So Below, and Ghostbusters re-release, which one are you most likely to head out to theaters and check out, Aaron?
November Man. I am going to see Ghostbusters, but I want to see November Man.
Scotty?
As Above, So Below. Crappiest title.
It is a shitty title. Brian?
Yeah, probably November Man.
All right, we'll just split this one. I want to see As Above, So Below. So 50-50 on each side, but I'm sure we'll also see Ghostbusters.
Is it a worse title than John Carter, Without the Mars?
It's just too long.
It's got a comma.
I think a movie, especially if it involves a comma.
I don't like commas. Commas are bad.
Well, not if they're a good Oxford comma.
Oh, but I knew that was coming.
They should have just called this like Below or found a way to get the gist of they're underneath the city without you. Because it's a title that I think would have worked as a book.
The Devil's Descent. That's what they should have called it, right?
Something
there.
Like that. As a book, that would have been a great title. As a film, it's a shit title.
Box office. Ninja Turtles are holding strong. They held strong at number one with $28.5 million, 56% drop. It really actually held well. $117 million total. So you're still getting that Turtles, too. Guardians of the Galaxy, really not far behind. As third week, $25 million for a $222 million total. It is going to take... By the time you listen to this, if it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Guardians should be taking the spot of the number one movie of the summer within the next few days. So
even over
Transformers domestically, not worldwide, just domestically.
No, I meant Winter Soldier, but I wasn't sure if that was considered summer.
Yeah, it'll be taking that one too, man.
Wow.
Yeah. Good thing you rated that one a 10 too, huh?
Damn right. That's what I rated it last night.
The three openings didn't do so hot. Number three was Let's Be Cops, $17.8 million. That's actually not bad. It's a really low-budget movie. And The Expendables 3 flopped, $15.8 million. That's 44% lower than the last movie opened with. Digital downloads, I don't know. There's different theories on that. It could be fatigue. Could be a lot of things.
You mean the pirating?
Yeah, the pirating. Digital downloads. That's what I call digital download. I'm sorry. I know
digital download sounds legal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did with Winter Soldier.
That's what we pretend if we happen to have watched one. The Giver is $12.3 million. I did buy a ticket, by the way. $12.3 million for The Giver, which I thought would be a little bit bigger. But
people weren't giving as much.
That's what she said.
They weren't really. Are we not
you
past
didn't use
this?
One fucking pun, by the way. I'm
not.
Really disappointed.
He hasn't in a couple of weeks.
I'm disappointed.
I've been slacking.
I like the puns.
Really? You make fun of my puns. You tell me how lame they are.
I'm going to make fun of it. Yeah. Doesn't mean I don't like it.
And sure. Where?
Except for your McConaughey, for the love of Christ. Let that one go.
Where was Sly in the...
All right.
In the Expendables podcast.
Why? I haven't received that many emails and messages from people. I probably 6 months to a year. Over something, and usually it's because I said something that they were offended by, but because I didn't do my Sly impersonation in the Expendables podcast. I didn't realize so many people were such a fan of my shitty Sly Stallone impersonation. Sorry I let you all down. I'm sorry.
What's this movie?
What's this movie? Each week we play ours or a listener-suggested clip from a movie, and if you think you know what the clip is, you email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com, and next week we'll give you a proper ho shout-out. Last week's answer was my pick, and it was Dead Again. Dead Again. And Justin got it right. I'm very proud of him. He didn't even have to Google it or anything.
Mm-mm.
Those that got it right for the show, Craig Schermerhorn and Jim Stein. Congratulations, guys. I guess that was a little harder than I intended. But this week, Jim Stein, who also got it correct, he wanted to offer his suggestion for a clip. And this is just happened to be one of my favorite movie clips ever. So if you think you know what it is, email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Thanks, Jim. I hope you guys get this. This is a great clip. Here you go.
Johnny.
4 weeks. 20 papers. That's $2 plus tip.
Gee, Johnny, I don't have a dime. Sorry.
didn't ask for a dime. $2.
Well, it's funny. See, my mom had to leave early to take my brother to school and my dad to work because...
$2. Cash.
See, the problem here is that my little brother this morning got his arm caught in the microwave and my grandmother dropped acid and she freaked out and hijacked a school bus full of penguins. So it's kind of a family crisis. So come back later. Great.
All right. That was a good clip. Thanks a lot, Jim. Hopefully you guys get that. That actor sounds so young. So young. Now let's go to reviews, new releases. We've got a couple of them. We're going to try and be quick because not all of them are really that successful. Let's Be Cops. I saw Let's Be Cops. It stars TV's New Girl co-stars Jake Johnson and Damon Wayans Jr. as two bumbling idiot friends. Scott, you'd be happy. Damon Wayans plays a game designer. You're welcome. So it just became like your number one go-to movie of the summer. They start pretending to be cops after they realize the respect it brings. Because basically they were going to a costume party. They dressed as cops. And then they start becoming cops because they realize people love them. People love cops, unless you're in Ferguson, Missouri. And they start roaming the streets in these cop costumes. Johnson especially gets into it. He buys a cop car on eBay. Tries to solve a neighborhood shakedown that's happening.
Wait, you could do that?
Apparently. On eBay, you could pick one up. Which I just want to let you guys know, if anybody's thinking about doing it, that is horribly illegal.
Yeah.
Please do not do it. Basically, there's a neighborhood shakedown. It's affecting their local restaurant, so they get involved in that. I think Johnson and Wayans work well enough as partners, and I did like seeing Rob Riggle. You guys, everybody knows Rob Riggle, right?
Yeah.
Got his dick shot off in 21 Jump Street. He plays a straight role for once. I mean, he's not making jokes. He's actually a hero cop.
Pow!
He's not doing that. He's playing it straight, and I actually think he does a very good job. But the movie just takes that one joke and tries to ride it for 2 hours. It's as much as I was looking forward to it, I was a little disappointed. I was pretty bummed. And go ahead, Scott. Say I told you so. Because you kept telling me.
Use that joke. And
man, it's almost like that's what I said.
It's like exactly what you said. But by the end of the film, you have these two guys essentially taking on an entire gang as well as a corrupt cop. All logic is thrown out a 20th story window. But there are some laughs. It's probably good for a rental. If $10 is the full price of admission, Let's Be Cops is worth $4.50.
Ooh.
Well, we're going to talk about The Expendables 3. Brian saw The Expendables 3. I did too, but I'm going to abstain. To explain the movie, we thought we would bring back a guest because of popular demand. So just to drop by. This is the last time he's probably going to drop by, so I hope you enjoy his presence.
I'm so excited.
I want you guys to hear Sylvester Stallone tell you all about Expendables 3. Here you go.
Yo, guys. How you been? It's been a while since I've been on your show, but I thought I'd come by just to tell you about my new movie. It's called The Expendables 3. You know, because there's so many unanswered questions from 1 and 2, we knew we had to make a part 3, you know? Hey. So this time, we fired Bruce Willis. You know, he wanted a little too much money. He ain't got time for that, you know? We heard Han Solo come on board, you know? Also, we got Blade, we got Zorro. It's not bad, right? Yo. Well, in this movie, we got Mel Gibson. He stars as Conrad Stonebase, you know? This guy was thought dead by my character, and once I find out he's alive, I grab some younger kids like Ronda Rousey and that twinkly fucker from Twilight. We go all Braveheart on him, you know? See what I did there? I used Gibson's movie. These are jokes. Anyways, it all goes south, and I gotta bring my old crew back to save them kids, you know, from Gibson and his Nazi army. It's a lot of fun. I hope you guys, you like this movie. Big fan of it. Apparently, you know, not many of you motherfuckers went and saw it, but that's cool, right? One last thing. If you're one of those motherfuckers that illegally downloaded my movie, you know, you guys are the disease, and I'm the cure. I'm just kidding. That's a line from one of my movies, right? These are jokes. But seriously, stop downloading my shit. Love the show. Take it easy, hoes. I gotta get back to work on my new feminist picture. It's called The Expendables. I think you broads are gonna love it. Fly out, yo.
Oh my god.
Brian, what did you think of Expendables 3?
How could I possibly follow that? Good gracious. I wasn't sure if it was still Stallone or if, I don't know, some black dude come walking in.
It was pretty close. It was pretty close.
I love the movie. Of course, you know, you and I both take it for what it is, and it's just fun. You don't need a deep plot. You just turn your brain off and watch the explosions and stuff. There's, like I said, there's very little plot with this. It was entertaining. It's not going to change your mind either way. If you don't like The Expendables, you're going to hate this movie. If you like The Expendables, you're going to like this movie. And I really think it got a bad rap with the box office. I don't know what's keeping people away. Like you say, whether it was the pirating issue or whether it's fatigue. I mean, these movies make a lot of money, so somebody's watching them. So I don't know, but it was very entertaining. I enjoyed it. Go see it.
That's a rousing endorsement. There you go. Go see it. What did you give it out of 10?
7.5.
That's what I gave it. Look at that. Same brain, man. Same brain. Let's hear your impressions.
Now?
Yeah. Whatever you got. Can you do Winnie the Pooh or Eeyore? I love Eeyore.
This is Russian space station. Shit.
Get them every time.
This is a cowboy.
Last movie, The Giver. That is based on Lois Lowry's book. The Giver takes place in a not-so-distant future where all war and suffering has been eliminated. It's basically this entire community is now a safe place where people are put into various allocations and all aspects of their lives are determined for them. In order to eliminate chaos, choices and love have essentially been outlawed. So it's just like Divergent and Hunger Games. Did you say China? Just like China. Brenton Thwaites Jonas is a special young man, as he has been gifted with the ability to learn all the historical knowledge in the universe, Earth's true history, from the Giver, who's played by Jeff Bridges in his Rooster Cogburn voice. Please stop doing that, Jeff Bridges. It's really annoying. Even my mom mentioned it, so obviously he needs to stop. As Jonas learns more about the history of the world, he begins to experience emotions that he never had before, becomes a little rebellious, and he finds himself determined to defy the Chief Elder, who's played by Meryl Streep, and give the memories of the past back to the people so they can start making choices again. I thought The Giver was much better than I thought it would be. I really didn't expect a whole lot, even though I liked the color palette of the trailers. I really didn't know what more I was going to get out of it. I really appreciated how director Philip Noyce used that palette in the film. Color kind of only comes into frame as characters learn about love and choices and experiences. So as they gather information from Jonas, that's when they start seeing color. So
that's like a Pleasantville kind of thing?
To a degree. I mean, color kind of represents their understanding. Yeah, actually, Pleasantville is a good example. Very similar to that.
Allegory of the Cave.
And I really liked it because they held to it, you know, when they had different characters' perspectives, until they start having the same realizations that Jonas does, they stay in black and white. I really liked how that played out. It's a pretty stellar cast through and through. And even though Bridges needs to stop sounding like he's chewing glass all the time, because that's really getting annoying, it's still a pretty engaging film. I hope it finds more of an audience on video. $10 full price for admission, and I give it $6. Let's go to Blu-ray and video on demand, Scott.
Yes, we have added video on demand now. We got a couple on disc, though. The first one is Blended. This is that latest Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore film. The plot, after a blind date, a man and woman find themselves stuck together at a resort for families where their attraction grows as their respective kids benefit from the burgeoning relationship.
Can we go back to where you said plot?
Yeah.
Because I saw the trailer. It sure didn't seem like there was much of a plot.
I can't believe this was on video already. I feel like this was just in the theater. Like,
I think they just start making the DVDs before it even hits theaters now.
It seems like it.
Spider-Man's already on DVD or Blu-ray.
That seems further back, though, than this one. I feel like this one is still in some of the theaters at some point. Next up is a movie called Belle. The story here is the mixed-race daughter of a Royal Navy admiral is raised by her aristocratic great-uncle in 18th-century England. None of us saw that one either. But we do have a couple that are available on video on demand. First off, before video on demand, there's a bunch of TV series are now hitting, including The Three Musketeers, Sons of Anarchy Season 6, finally I can watch that season and get caught up before.
You better hurry up because it's the final season, man.
I know. And Walking Dead season 4. Now we'll go to the video on demand. The first one is The Two Faces of January. This one actually comes out on the 28th. It stars Kirsten Dunst and Viggo Mortensen. And it's a thriller centered on a con artist, his wife, and a stranger who flee Athens after one of them is caught up in the death of a private detective. And then on the 29th, we've got Life of Crime. The story here is two common criminals get more than they bargained for after kidnapping the wife of a corrupt real estate developer who shows no interest in paying the $1 million ransom for her safe return. This one stars Jennifer Aniston and Mark Boone Jr., better known as the guy from Sons of Anarchy with the big beard.
Hey, Brian and Justin.
Fat Elvis.
Yeah, there you go, Fat Elvis. Brian and Justin, you guys watch more video on demand than most people I know. Do you guys think like the selection of those movies is getting a lot better these days?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you're getting more quality?
Yeah, especially with this trend towards releasing at the same time or releasing for home viewing earlier than theatrical releases. I check the indies and whatnot as much as I check the big hits.
Really? Okay. All right. I was just wondering because it seems like there's decent movies every week now for video on demand where there for the longest time it was just the movies you didn't really want to see to begin with.
Well, and you're seeing more of a selection with actors that you wouldn't think. It's a, kind of like it's almost like a side gig or like how maybe a lead singer from a very popular band will have a side band that doesn't do, you know, they just play small gigs or something like that. It's kind of the same. I mean, it's almost like the same thing. Like you'll see these, you know, big time actors who don't need to go make a movie that goes straight to video on demand. But, you know, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, there's, you know, just for George Clooney, for example, you know, just bam, what the hell? So where'd this come from?
Well, and all the streaming services are getting into it with their exclusives. I know DirecTV for a little while had Life After Beth, that new comedy horror movie with Aubrey Plaza. Is that her name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had it exclusive for a little while, and I would have watched it, but they wanted like $13.99 or $14.99, and I don't mind paying that if I'm going to a theater with all my stuff and sitting in a, you know, nice comfy chair, but I ain't going to pay that for home.
Right.
With all your stuff, what do you carry, a backpack?
Oh, yeah. You know, I break out my little table, get it all set up.
A fanny pack? He's here.
The only way I'd pay $15 for a movie like that is if I have a bunch of people come over to watch it with me and we all split it. That's how cheap I am.
Really? But you go to the theater, it's going to cost you that much to go to the theater, see?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, factor into the time you're driving there, the gas, the
popcorn,
the ticket, the snacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. With that, we'll move on to our trivia or hoe game.
First time we're doing this one.
This is a brand new one, and this is called the hoe off. Yes, the hoe off.
That's right.
Here's how this is going to work. Brian's going to pick. He's going to basically pick a movie, and we're going to go around the table, round robin, quoting lines from the movie. Now, each person has 3 seconds to quote a line, and if not, they're eliminated, and we go around and there's only one winner remaining.
That's right.
Now, the rule is it has to be a popular movie, has to be a quotable movie, and I imagine I'm going to lose very quickly because odds are I haven't seen it.
Do I participate too?
Yes.
Okay.
You're the host, so technically you should win, fucker. I'm just saying.
That was where I was going with this. It's like
by theory you should win, but I think Justin and I might be able to take you. I'm not including Scott in that. Although it would be awesome if he ended up winning.
So we got to go in a circle, though, right? I mean, if you're going to count the 3 seconds,
Brian will give it to somebody, and that person gives it to the next person, that person gives it, and then we'll keep that circle. Whatever that circle is how it'll roll. Great. How's that?
All right.
Since this is our first time, we're going to go a little bit easy with this. Airplane.
Oh, shit.
It's going to be a while.
This is a movie you fuckers know so much better than me.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit sniffing glue.
And don't call me Shirley.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. We're all counting on you.
I speak jive.
Come me some slack, Jack.
Roger, roger.
That's you, Brian.
Oh, you're out.
Oh,
nah.
All right.
You're up. What's your vector, Victor?
Do we have clearance?
shit, I don't know.
3 seconds, you're out.
It's funny, when he said Roger, Roger, all I thought was in robots from those crappy Star Wars movies.
I know, that's what I always say, and then they follow it up with Airplane.
Oh, fuck, I got nothing.
You're out.
Assume the crash position.
Oh, no, that's wrong.
Did I just win it? Ho, ho, ho! Take that, bitches!
This game's stupid.
I'm so happy right now.
Oh,
I'm so happy.
Scott's hugging himself.
Oh.
And you just blew out 4 radio stations, by the way. That screaming. Good for you, Scott. We're proud of you. Hopefully you guys like that game. It's a little, hopefully a little bit more fun as you guys are shouting your own lines at the radio.
I got a bunch more, too.
Hey, don't brag, you motherfucker.
Let us know if you like that one or if you don't like it. Okay, from the outside in, now we're going to the topic of the week. Who is the greatest working director? Each week, we talk about what our favorite movies are. We debate the merits of various talents among our varying tastes. But ultimately, some films are great, some are good, some are not close to either of those two things. But one thing is constant, the director is always the guy or gal. The director is always the person responsible for all of it. So this week, no top three, no honorable mentions, nothing like that. We're just going to state our case individually for who is our favorite working director and why. Scotty, who is your favorite director and why?
My favorite working director right now is Christopher Nolan. The first movie I ever saw of his was Memento, and I loved how that movie made my brain work in a way that was completely different and just warped it and made it go haywire. Since then, he's taken comic book franchises that I would have otherwise dismissed and made them feel like they could actually take place in reality. And to me, that was a big thing because I, as you guys know, I've been tapped out on...
Yeah, you don't like comic. You're not, you don't love them like...
I love them like you guys do. But I didn't. To be fair, I didn't grow up with the comics like you guys did, so I don't have the nostalgia. I don't have the grown-up love with it. And the way that he did the Dark Knight series and even Superman was like...
Well, he didn't direct Superman, so he just produced it.
You're right. That's okay. But it was specifically with the Dark Knight series... I could see that all of that happening. I mean, all of that stuff, there wasn't anything kind of supernatural. There were no superpowers. I could see that happening. On top of that, he continues to make films that make me think. Obviously, you guys know my love for Inception, and the upcoming Interstellar looks like it's going to be kind of bending your brain a little bit. I can safely say that I'll see anything he makes that has his name attached to it from here on out. So that's my pick.
What do you guys think? You think Christopher Nolan is definitely in the mix? In the conversation,
he's definitely in the discussion. He's bringing a fresh, kind of a fresh run of movies that, like, say it's something a little bit different. And like every now and then, I don't mind thinking.
Hmm.
And any movie that you walk out of where you kind of scratch your head and you're not really sure, you're on the drive home, you're debating how, like Inception, like. You know, what did you get from the ending? Because mm-hmm. I got this and no, and this and that. No, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's a sign of a good movie. And that's a really good call. He's definitely in the conversation.
When you have people fighting over if they heard something after the screen goes to black, I think that's pretty well done.
Mm-hmm.
I got to admit, that's pretty well done. Justin, you're way too quiet. You're not a fan of the Nolan choice?
No, and I love Nolan. I think that between Memento and Inception, you know, those two films alone are enough to, I think, elevate him above most directors. But then you add in what he was able to do with The Dark Knight, and it's really incredible that he was able to bring such grittiness and realism to a franchise that is just so not that. But he did, and... Now with Interstellar coming up and what I've seen from the trailers, it looks outstanding. He's just a director that is not content to make just a regular movie. Mm-hmm. He wants to make something that's got heart and that has passion all through it. And I respect that more than just about anything. He's a fantastic director, and he's certainly, I think, currently working. He's in the very top tier.
I don't think he gets enough credit for Insomnia.
I never saw it.
Really? You never saw that one?
Mm-mm.
The Robin Williams?
Yeah, Robin Williams and Al Pacino movie. Yeah. I never did.
That's
such a great little thriller. It's very understated. It's very quiet. And Pacino's performance in it is actually pretty stellar. Especially since that was his screaming phase and he didn't scream.
Right.
So, definitely one I think people should. Good pick. Good pick. My pick is Quentin Tarantino. There's only one director I can think of currently that I absolutely have to see every single thing he does the day it comes out. And I think there's a lot of great visual directors out there. But Tarantino is the only one. See, I wasn't going to get an honorable mention. I'm covering all of them. But Tarantino's the only one to me whose look is so distinct that you could spend 5 minutes in a theater, in a seat, and you know exactly who's running the show. You know who's in charge. His writing to me has always been stellar. Even True Romance, which I don't think was the best directed movie because he didn't direct it.
No, it was Tony Scott,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was Tony Scott, yep. But it had moments of greatness. And ever since Reservoir Dogs, where he took such a chance with that movie. That movie is – people look at it now and are like, wow, that's been done 1,000 times. It got done 1,000 times because of Reservoir Dogs. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, that movie moved so slow. And it got so much flack because it moved so slow. And it was so much talking for a crime drama. You know, there's really very little violence in the movie. Other than the ear, which everybody thinks it's horribly violent, it's just – really the ear and Tim Roth's bloody shootout. That's mm-hmm. really it.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not been any director who's disappointed me less than him. His films just simply do not release to me. They become classics like as soon as they come out. They become movies that everybody has to talk about. Other filmmakers have to talk about. He pulls performances from actors you either do not know or barely remember were alive, really. I mean, he made a star out of Michael Madsen, and Michael Madsen kind of has one shtick, and for some reason that shtick only works in Tarantino movies. I love Madsen, but I only really love Madsen in Michael or Quentin Tarantino movies. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I love about him.
Well, and also with Tarantino, he's one of those guys that people copy, and they mimic his style. I mean, He did that jumpy timeline thing that mm-hmm. where back and forth stuff that
non-linear.
People have copied ever since.
He absolutely did.
The non-linear stuff.
Yeah. To be fair, people will say, well, he rips off other filmmakers, da da da. You know what? He does mimic or use those influences in his film. Not going to argue that. But he takes them and makes them his own.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as I'm concerned, that's not copying. That's paying homage and improving upon.
Well, I was just going to say, I would never say that he rips off anyone, because usually if he's going to take someone else's film style and then apply it to what he does, he always tries to elevate it and show, you know, not only not why he liked it, but why he's using it. It's always an homage. It's never a ripoff. I've never thought that once about him.
Earlier, you mentioned that you can walk into a Tarantino movie not knowing it's him and just look at it and see it visually that mm-hmm. it's him. I think I could do the same thing if it were a Tarantino movie that I hadn't seen and I just listened to the audio
the
without
score,
seeing the picture.
Yeah.
Well, not even the score, but just the dialogue. His dialogue and the way that his characters – and I know that's a tribute to the writing, not necessarily directing – is so distinct in him. Mm-hmm. Like just the way that the characters talk to each other and sometimes conversations about nothing – but
always conversations about nothing.
But they're
entertaining. Foot massages are fantastic to listen to. You got a guy in a box dressed in leather for – it makes no sense to anybody in the world, but for some reason you buy it. I mean, just all those crazy inventions. And he made slavery cool somehow or whatever the hell that was. I mean, people were not – nobody bashed it for misrepresenting slavery. You know, whenever you make a movie about slavery, people are worried about the realism. There's zero realism in that movie. In Django mm-hmm. Unchained, there's zero realism. Zero.
When he was writing it, though, do you think he had the N-word just copy-paste?
I think so. I think it was.
Because I'd get tired of typing that out constantly.
And why is he the...
used it a lot.
He is the only...
Yeah, he goes to type the word no, and the N-bomb drops up there for auto, you know, auto text.
Yeah.
Why is he the only writer slash director, white man in the world that is allowed to drop the N-word, and nobody gives him flack for it?
Samuel Jackson.
That's well, I could fully believe that.
Because Samuel Jackson?
He got a badass black man to say his words, and that gave him all the validity he needed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't argue that. All right. Good call. One other thing I want to point out about him is he chooses songs to score his films, which some directors have emulated since then. And a lot of them seem utterly ridiculous. If you go and you listen to some of his soundtracks before you saw the movie – you would sit there and go, what the? I don't see the point of this for anything. But after you see the movie, they suddenly become cooler.
Mm-hmm.
There have actually been songs that I've heard before that I thought sucked. And I've heard them in a Tarantino movie, and suddenly I thought they were more artistic. They were more lyrical. They were just better songs. Why? I have no idea, because I'm a sucker for the fact that he used them, so it must be cool. Probably the Samuel
Jackson. Michael Madsen can dance.
Exactly. I still can't hear that song without doing a little dance, wishing I had an ear in my hand.
Hello.
He also, he has enough confidence in his material. This is my favorite part about Tarantino. He has enough confidence in his material to let a scene play out. Too many directors are so ADD addicted nowadays, they cannot trust their own filmmaking. Or maybe the studios don't trust them enough. Maybe that's what it is. But their scenes just don't play out enough. They either make them too short, they're trying to zip to the next action scene, whatever it is, they don't let the dialogue play out. He lets it go. And some occasionally it doesn't work, but 9 times out of 10 it works. And he just has that confidence. He's just that director that just leaves me with that feeling that I experienced something. I didn't really watch something, I experienced it. That's a great director to me. Brian, who's your pick?
Let me just give you a couple of movies this guy's done. Jaws, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Hook, Jurassic Park, Schindler's List, Steven Spielberg.
He directed Steven Spielberg?
Yeah, he did. That's how good he is.
He directed.
He directs his own life. He has millions of extras that just cross in front of him and interact with him because his other half tells him so. So
now, do you feel he is, and I realize he's taken a turn for the more serious in the last few years and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel he is just as strong now as he was 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago? It's a legitimate question. I'm not questioning
your fit. I'll tell you what, I don't think he is working as hard as he was 30 years ago. It seemed early 80s, late 70s through the probably mid 90s. He seemed to be cranking out movies at a much faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he's doing that as much now. And I think he's, of course, at this stage, he can be a lot more picky. And he can just kind of, like I say, pick and choose what he wants to do. And instead of just kind of, I just kind of want to do this and crank out these other ones because I've got a studio contract that says I've got to crank out, you know, 5 more pictures or something like that.
That's really the only reason I kept him from the top of my list, because I considered Spielberg as well. But I think for lifetime achievement, he would take it. But I haven't seen anything from him. I didn't see Lincoln, to be fair. I didn't see Lincoln, to be fair. But I haven't seen anything lately that just made me wow. Like Brian said, during the 90s.
He was the guy.
He was the guy.
Must go faster. Must go faster.
Oh.
So, yeah, for at least 2 decades, he pretty much owned the silver screen. And granted, probably the last 10 to 15 years, it's probably more miss than hits, or at least foul balls.
Well, see, I don't think that's fair. I think the last 10 or 15 years, he's been taking swings at harder material, at heavier material, deeper material, where he was,
instead of whimsical?
Whimsical, magical, childish fantasies, things like that. Things that appealed to him at a younger age that he wanted to keep doing. I think now that he's getting older, he wants to do more serious work and leave a mark, so to speak, in another area of filmmaking. So I don't necessarily think it's more misses. He's taking different chances.
And I just respect that, but he is really, truly at his best when he is dealing with a subject matter that, you know, literally takes him beyond the stars. When he's doing Close Encounters, when he's doing the earlier Indiana Jones films, that's when he really shines. And I don't know if he's stopped doing those sorts of films because of what, you know, you were just saying, or if it's because he doesn't want to just leave a legacy that's just, you know, speculative fiction type movies. But to me, that's when he really does his best work. And I wish, like hell, that he would get back to it.
Really? You really want him to nail one of those before he goes, kind of thing?
Yeah, I do.
Another
I want to see him do what he does best. I want to see him directing Aliens, doing really cool stuff. I want to see a good Indiana Jones. Not that I hated Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, but I want to see something more on par with the first three. I just wish he would stop fucking around with, you know, weightier material and give me my summer blockbuster goodness. With Jaws, he invented the fucking thing.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
So stop
doing what you want to do and do what I want you to do.
That sounds like the Justin
there
I know.
There we go.
Spielberg? God damn it.
There's the McCumber we all love.
That's right.
What were you saying, Scott?
I say I didn't watch Close Encounters until like way later in life, like probably in the 2000s. I still enjoyed it just as much as I'm guessing you guys did back when it first mm-hmm. came out. I think that movie still holds up. I loved it.
I agree, man. I agree. Now we come to Justin McCumber, and I just want to say, you're the one person I'm not sure which way you're going to go, because I know you've got like six you want to pick, and I know at least three that you really wish you had honorable mentions so you could pick. So I want to know, who is Justin's great pick for greatest director?
Place your bets.
George Lucas.
Oh, yeah, let's place – wait, before Justin goes. Scott, who do you think it's going to be?
Joss Whedon.
Brian?
George Lucas.
I'm going with Wachowskis. Justin?
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh, that, yep.
Justin, what's your number one? Or is he going to go, ooh, now he's going Aaron. Outside the box.
He's going to go rogue.
Aaron, you picked it, buddy. You know, I was going to try and throw you by saying, no, I've got two directors. And then you were going to go, oh, you can't have a set up. And then I was going to throw you the curveball of, they're siblings. But yes, it's the Wachowski, formerly the Wachowski brothers, now the Wachowskis. Maybe siblings, if you want to be a little more technical or precise about it.
How are they formally brothers? Did they stop being brothers? Did they quit?
What? Well, no, since Lana considers herself a girl.
Wait, what happened?
Andy.
You didn't know that?
No.
Or yeah. not Andy. It was Larry.
Yeah. Not Lana or
changed
something?
Changed into Lana Wachowski.
Did not know that.
That's crazy. We make jokes about this every time they come up.
Apparently, I was not Cloud Atlas.
I was not getting that joke. Nope.
Wow. Listen to the show.
No. And now The Matrix makes more sense to me. All right. Go ahead.
You know, they have really yet to make a film that I just haven't fallen head over heels for. I thought, you know, The Matrix is one of those movies that forever changed Hollywood and the way that films were made. You know, for good or ill. I've seen good representations of people taking it and working with that kind of style, and I've seen plenty of bad. But it did have an effect on the way movies are made. I thought that what they did with the Animatrix, which the Wachowskis wrote several of, were phenomenally well done. But as I have controversially said in the past, and I will stick to these guns until I die, I think The Matrix Reloaded is the best of the three. I love the depth that they went to with the story of The Matrix. They took it in directions I really never saw coming. And I love it when a movie can go places that are beyond even my imagination. I loved Speed Racer. So many people want to shit on this movie. But if you're looking for a true cartoon to movie adaptation where they take everything that made the cartoon so unique and bring it to the screen, you know, fuck your Flintstones, fuck your Transformers. Speed Racer is the one that really did it right because it is a cartoon practically in theaters, and it is so beautiful to watch those colors. Great music. I cannot stop loving that movie. And yeah, Cloud Atlas. It was my favorite movie of 2012. I've seen it several times since then, and it never loses its magic for me. They're a directing couple, duo, whatever, that is not content, much like I said earlier with another director. They're not content to just tell some mediocre by-the-number story. They always go for something unique, something deeper, something that plunges into the who we are as human beings and maybe what our society is all about, or they just go for pure joy like they did with Speed Racer. I cannot wait to see Jupiter Ascending. I really think Sense8 is going to be a fantastic TV show since they're working on it with J. Michael Straczynski. For me, if they have a movie coming out, I don't even need to see a trailer. I don't even need to hear what it's about. I am going to go see it because I know that they're going to deliver for me. They never have not.
I will tell you, Speed Racer, I'm not a fan of the story. I don't like the story. But visually, it is a beautiful film.
Yeah, the story is just visually it's kind striking. Of there to give a reason to go from one pretty scene to another. But the CG and the way they used it to really create this kind of whimsical cartoon feel has just never been done better, in my opinion.
All right. Well, those
are... who remembers what a Speed Racer cartoon was about? It was just cars going fast.
Yeah. Bzz, bzz,
bzz. And a monkey.
And a monkey.
And a monkey. There's always
a monkey.
Well,
I think technically it was a chimp, but, you know, and those are not monkeys.
And then the asteroid came, and the president was threatened. Now we're back to our Doomsday movie.
And now Gerard Butler's got to save the world.
Without a shirt. Yep. You know, how are they going to pull that off, by the way? They got to do that, because he can't not have a shirt on at some point. He has to have a shirt off at some point.
I'm sure there's like an airlock or something, or there's gonna be a spot on
the
Earth
airlock will before. Suck his shirt off. Those are our picks. So we've got Christopher Nolan, Quentin Tarantino, Steven Spielberg, and the Wachowskis. Why don't you guys? We're gonna put a poll up tomorrow, or actually,
that's what she said.
We'll put a poll up in the next day or two, and you guys can vote. I can't believe that's twice in an episode, really. And you guys can vote for which one of those four you guys think is the best director working.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'd like to know which one of our four you guys think is the best working director. And we also have some listener feedback. Remember, we do put the topic on our Facebook page each week, usually Tuesday night. That's facebook.com/The Hollywood Outsider. So you guys listening can contribute to the show. Guys, what do we have for this week's listeners?
Steve Peterson says, Nolan, aside from Insomnia, he's never done a bad movie, so apparently he didn't like that one. His films are epic without going over the top. His ideas and styles are clever and inventive, and the performances he gets are always top-notch, no matter if they're a huge star or new to the screen.
Chris Owen says, Soderbergh, Tarantino, and Nolan, my top three.
Soderbergh, yeah. You know, he's been spotty the last couple of years, but... he's got some great movies. Mm-hmm.
Really he's always about experimentation, too, and I respect that.
He is, yeah.
Robert John Davenport says, off the top of my head, Christopher Nolan, I know I'm going to see a movie that has everything with him.
So far, I'm looking good.
Nolan's getting a couple votes, yeah.
Craig Schermerhorn says, I have to stick with Joss. He elicits loyalty and elevates the careers of everyone he works with, from writers to actors. He navigates genres with ease and never loses sight of the fan base. Same time, he won't sacrifice plot or unseen twists to placate or spoon-feed an immature clique.
The only thing I will say on the Joss Whedon one is I don't know if film-wise he has enough work to justify that. Yeah.
But when you consider the one he did, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. Two he did. Hey, he did Serenity.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. That is true. Fuck, how did I forget
didn't
that?
Didn't he do Cabin in the Woods?
No, he was a producer and writer.
Yep.
Okay.
Jonathan Spear says, Scorsese is always near the top of my list.
It's not a bad pick.
Jay Edwardson, no one said Uwe Boll yet?
Uwe.
Is it Uwe?
Hey, I'll just tell you, we had an opportunity to interview him, and we said no. Does that make us bad or good? I can't decide.
No.
Yeah.
I actually saw yesterday on Netflix that they've got a Name of the King 3.
Really?
That he's directing. Name of the King 3.
God.
How the fuck did they get to 2?
How does he still get funding? Anyway, continue.
Douglas Clayton says, crap, what a chauvinist I am. I love Julie Taymor and Catherine Bigelow.
Hey, man. Catherine Bigelow is great.
Yeah, she is.
She's great.
Marcus Eckhoff says, David Fincher and Christopher Nolan.
Oh, man. Scott's the winner so far.
Douglas Clayton says, Paul Thomas Anderson, Danny Boyle, and Christopher Nolan. Freaking favorite pick, or freaking favorite topic, many, many debates to ensue.
David McGrath says, I've been watching a lot of Werner Herzog's stuff lately. Movies, documentaries, TV. He does it all, and he's damn good at it.
Brad Peterson says, Sion Sono?
That's Japanese. No idea.
I'm not familiar.
Somebody's trying to get all
artsy fartsy on us.
That's right.
No. I think he's being legit.
That's legitimately who his favorite director is.
No, I'm sure of it. No. At the same time.
Arsy, farsy, son of a bitch.
Arsy, farsy, son of a bitch.
That's right.
Knowing more shit than we do.
We called you out, Brad Peterson.
That's right, Brad. You elitist SOB. Just kidding. All right, Austin Price says, JJ is everywhere.
That doesn't sound like he was saying he's the best director. He's just, yeah, he's everywhere. Everywhere I go. That glare is everywhere I go. Do you guys think he's in the conversation? Real quick. Do you guys think J.J. Abrams is in the conversation? Or do you think he's just, he's the guy of the moment?
For me, he's in the conversation. I loved what he did with Mission Impossible 3. I really, really enjoyed his two Star Trek movies. I love the TV work that he's done. For me, he is someone who, especially now that he's doing Episode 7, I think his career is pretty much set, and he will be working for the rest of his life or as long as he wants. And he'll probably be putting out good stuff.
I think he's on the rise. I just don't think he's in the conversation for greatest working director.
I agree. I think
if Joss is, JJ is. Because they both come from a TV background that led into movies. Mm. Well, no, but Joss was mentioned earlier, and no one asked if he was in the conversation.
What were you saying, Scott?
I was saying I think once we see Episode 7, that will be the real determining factor.
If he can save Star Wars, he could do pretty much anything.
Yep.
I'll give you that one.
Yep. All right. Stephen White says, I will add one of my favorites to the list. Did these people know it was just one? No.
They had three, didn't they?
He says Michael Mann.
Normally I edit it out, but this time there was a lot of, there's only four or five words, so it's okay. Michael Mann, huh?
Yeah, he says, I love crime dramas, and this guy knows how to make them. Heat, The Insider, Collateral, Miami Vice, and Public Enemies, etc. I agree. I love Miami Vice, Heat, Collateral, and I never saw Public Enemies.
The Insiders are actually really good. Mm-hmm. I actually really like that movie.
Jonathan Spear agrees with him. He says, Michael Mann is great. I love the way he captures night scenes, and I definitely agree about Miami Vice.
Was Collateral the one with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx?
Yes. Sure was.
Yep. Oh, God damn, that was good.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Thomas Feldkamp says, J.J. Abrams.
We got another one for Abrams. I guess he's in the conversation.
Guess so.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Nice picks, guys. Nice picks. Next week is our summer wrap-up episode. So we're going to talk about what our favorites are, what sucked, and really what just pissed us off. That's usually pretty fun. We're going to have a topic next week. It's going to be basically what was your favorite summer movie. So keep that in mind and keep an eye out. Are you guys excited? That's always one of my favorite episodes to do because we just make fun of stuff.
Stuff that pissed us off include like each other?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you can talk about Guardians free of charge for at least 5 minutes.
Galaxy.
Ooga chaga. Ooga chaga. All right. Well, remember to like us on Facebook. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook page for movie or TV fans. Stop singing. Not just for fans of the show. So if it's anybody who likes to talk about movies, just hop on over there and join up. The link is in the show notes. Justin is still singing. Please review us on iTunes. We will read your review on the show. Keep in mind, sometimes it does take a few days. So to post on iTunes, we'll read it as soon as it posts on there. Emails. We got a couple emails before we wrap the show up. Justin.
First emails from Amy Hutchison. She says, a few things I want to touch on. Number one, thanks for another great episode. I really enjoyed the Hook intro. Made my heart happy. Number two, Over the Top is so bad, but so good. I love that movie. When people are being excessively and unnecessarily dramatic or ridiculous, over the top, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I sometimes jokingly say, calm down, Sly Stallone, and nobody gets it. Womp, womp.
Those are lame people, and you need to get them out of your lives.
And number three, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Invisible, but the first time I saw the preview for If I Stay, I was immediately reminded of this. Lastly, well, she went from number four to number five. I'm not sure if
from three to five.
I probably trimmed something out.
Maybe
don't judge.
But number five, Brian, thank you for mentioning The Leftovers. I am seriously loving this show so much, and I completely agree about the third episode. I was hooked pretty much right away with this show, but the third episode was fantastic. Ha ha, that was a Doctor Who reference. I didn't get it.
I don't watch Doctor Who. Justin, you watch Doctor Who.
I do, but I don't get that.
Yeah, you pretty much suck then.
Yeah, pretty much. I was walking around Target the other day and saw the book for The Leftovers on the shelf and almost picked it up, but I decided not to because I'm honestly enjoying not knowing where the hell this is going. I don't want to spoil it. It's definitely my most looked forward to show every week this summer. That's about it this week. Thanks again, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, Amy Hutchinson. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Wow. Brian's like, yeah.
Because it's a damn good show.
All right. All right. We get it. You're the man.
Calm down.
Brian, go ahead.
I am the man. I'm the man.
You want to go, right. Man?
Yep. All right.
All right, Colin Kaepernick. Let's go.
Sean St. Clair says, what's up, hoes? I am not sure if anyone mentioned this or if it's been done, but seeing this year is the 20th anniversary of Pulp Fiction's release, I'd like to see this movie recast.
Oh.
Since you've recast two of 1994's Best Picture nominees, Forrest Gump and The Shawshank Redemption, I think it's time.
Touché, sir.
Calling us out. Mm-hmm. The characters to recast should be Jules Winfield, Vincent Vega, Mia Wallace, and Butch.
Oh, shit.
Keep up the good work.
It's pronounced Butch.
Butch.
Not the Gimp, huh? We don't have to recast that one? That seems like an easy one to fill.
No, that's you.
Get the Gimp.
It's always me. I look good in that mask. We'll have to do that. We'll keep an eye out.
I think any mask looks good on you.
Oh.
Better than your face.
Whoa.
Especially if you got a ball gag.
Scott. Dick.
This one comes from Robert John Davenport. He says, two shows that don't get enough talk are Face Off and Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Yeah.
These shows are what reality television should be. There is a lot of teamwork between the contestants. I mean, come on. It's a contest and people are not actively sabotaging their rivals. The work is inspiring and you get a glimpse of what it's like behind the scenes for movies, only in fast forward, multiplying the intensity with short deadlines. What some of these people come up with thrill and amaze me. And I don't feel like I need to take a shower after each viewing. Brian might have talked me back into watching Falling Skies. Otherwise, wow. The Walking Dead with aliens. Though I really miss the throwbacks they used to do to historical events and relating it to what they're going through now. Yeah. And then Brian might have convinced me to watch The Leftovers. That is all. Thanks for the great show.
Brian,
it's a Brian-centric show tonight. I'm kind of digging this.
Apparently, you watch the best TV, Brian. Nice job.
I try to tell you, and you're like, oh, I'll check it out sometime.
Yeah.
I got four more shows on USA Network to fucking work through.
I do. Don't knock Suits.
You need to turn the channel every now and then.
Give me your HBO password.
I've given it to you like 12 times.
Everybody else gets it. You can stay to the credits for outtakes. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com for our website. Tweet us at @H_Outsider. Our website is, again, thehollywoodoutsider.com. Email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do. Thanks to all you Stitcher listeners because you have moved us in the top 100 of entertainment podcasts on Stitcher.
Woohoo!
We really appreciate that. That's very cool. Please keep sharing the episodes and give us a thumbs up on that app or through our RSS feed. That's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Is there anything anybody wants to say? Justin, did you want to mention your friend?
Yeah, on the other podcast that I used to do and still, you know, manage a bit, the Dead Robot Society, we've gone through a series of hosts, and one of them who came on for a little while is a man by the name of P.G. Holyfield. First name was Patrick. He was a dead robot with us for a while. He wrote a novel called Murdered Avedon Hill that he podcasted with a bunch of voice actors, and he's been a podcaster for longer than I have, and I've been doing it for a little over 7 years now. Unfortunately, he recently discovered that he has cancer, and by the time they discovered it, it had already moved into his organs and into his lymph nodes. There's no treatment for it, and the doctors have told him, you know, he's got weeks at the best, maybe just a couple. And so he also has two young daughters. I think they're like 11 and 9 that are going to have to go on without their dad. And his friends have started up, of which I'm one, a GoFundMe campaign to help raise money to, you know, defray some medical costs if we can, because this has been incredibly expensive with all the scans he's had to go through and doctor visits. It's really been terrible. And if we can, is help his daughters as well. If you go to www.gofundme.com/pgfund. You can donate if you're so inclined to do so. I have thousands of dollars have been raised. We need to raise more. He's an amazing guy, and I have been crying most of this week because he's somebody I know and have known for a while, and just to see and feel them just get taken away so quickly without any time to prepare is a really shitty thing. And he's an incredibly good, kind man, and he does not deserve what's happening to him. So put it out there, and I hope some of you maybe kick over a few bucks and just help him out.
There's a link for the show notes. So.
Appreciate it.
And don't worry, there's outtakes. So I won't leave you on a completely dour note. But it would be very welcome if you guys want to support podcasters. That's one way to support. Scotty, any parting thoughts?
No.
Gaming, your gaming link. Go find Scott's Gaming Outsider, by God. Join if you like the video games.
Yes, if you like video games, find us on Facebook. We got a group much like the Hollywood Outsider. We have the Gaming Outsider. Lots of good conversations going there.
The goes and not the hoes?
The goes. Right. I'm a go.
He's a go.
I do my best to try to keep as much game-related news on there current and having some good conversations there, too. So give us a check out.
Give us a check out.
Give us a check out.
Just like we're a grocery store. Brian, anything? At Brian WMS, catch him on Twitter. He's always saying something that's really offensive.
Yeah, I try to piss off as many people as I can just about every day.
He's like a shotgun insult machine.
That's right.
He is.
Hey, I will say real quick, the fantasy football thing, let us know on Facebook or email me at brian@thehollywoodoutsider.com. So if there's like just one or two spots left, so if you want to get in, hurry up.
Yeah, so. Hurry up. The draft is in 2 weeks, right?
Yep. Or and if you week. Let one me week. Know that you want it in and you haven't accepted the invite yet, get off your ass, check your email, and... Maybe if it's not in your email, check your spam. It might have went in there.
Brian has no time to kill him with kindness. Get your shit going.
Get your shit. Wink.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining us yet again. Holy cow, you guys are so offensive. We're
Jump
sorry.
Don't want no help. Jump don't get the help.
What?
I don't know.
It's an airplane reference.
It's an airplane reference. Oh.
Scott would know that because he just kicked our asses.
I hope he enjoyed it, because that would be the last fucking victory I allow him to have.
I think that was a fun game, by the way. I like that. That was fun. Thanks to you guys. Thanks for being here. Remember, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
And Leon's getting larger.
Brian, That's I nominate you to take an ice bath.
I nominate you to go fuck yourself.
So I got to join you fuckers back in the working world.
If it
playtime's over, motherfucker.
That's right. Playtime is over.
Good. Maybe I'll cancel my cable and get your HBO Go password.
Might have to.
You cannot lie.
Mm-mm. I like all butt, but I like big butts. And I cannot lie.
Wow, did we just hear that joke about 4 seconds ago?
Yeah, we just did a repeat. We just did a rinse, lather, and repeat.
Brought it right back around.
Thought maybe I was in Edge of Tomorrow or something, kind of reliving the same.
It's big and it's white and it's got a big red stripe and it looks like a big Tylenol.
How the fuck do you remember all these?
Oh.
And I should have known that would be the one Brian would go with, his fucking airplane.
Now this shit's really going to hit the fan.